Welcome back, friends, to Occultists Anonymous and our Mage the Awakening Chronicle Into the West. Thank you for joining us. It has been a wild ride. Shout outs to all our followers, supporters, sharers, and patrons who support us monetarily. Thank you to 1D4 Con James, Adele, Alys, Alexander, Osrit, Bernie, Chris, Doc, Emil, Jeff, George, I'm Lonely, Hi Lonely, I'm Dad, Cat Feathers, Klaus, Milo V3, Moku, Mozart D Minor, MT Gamer, Nick, Other Guy, Perry, Fug, Polkadot Hubris, Puppeteer, Riafio, Shexar, Starfish, Terran, The Nowhere King, This Is Hype, Thomas, Tom, Verhex, and Vortex. Thank you all so much for your support. When we last left the coven, they had more or less flipped the double bird to the god machine, kicked it in its shin, and then ran away giggling.
Nards.
I say shin.
Oh, I guess mostly. Yeah. Your description of the effect we had on it was pretty minor, so I guess.
Yeah, shin is, yeah. I was just saying. Yeah, this is much more of a ha ha da, and run away, far more of an annoyance. Nobody expected more than that.
A flaming bag of poo on their doorstep.
There you go. That's a good one. And definitely a hi, we know where you live kind of response. And definitely walking away with, well, we can damage it, but if we want to damage it on a true large level, we're going to have to whip up some Imperial magics. Which, hey, I have archmages for this. And when you all return that's back. Up. That is
you.
And as we left off, Archmage Rilla standing silhouetted at the caverns into Nyakis and saying, it's been a minute and we need to talk.
The first thing that Cloak does in response to that, her appearance, is to send a DM to Petrichor and say, are you in the right mindset for this conversation?
I'm always in the right mindset for a conversation.
Nods, and after a slight pause, he says, you did just so recently kill someone.
I see. No, I'm fine.
Thank you.
She remembers to be touched that he cares about her feelings and wasn't worried that she was going to pop off and attack Rilla. Yeah.
He's only ever concerned about her at this point. Yeah. You know? So
I mean, at this point, I think Theo's about 50-50 mm-hmm. on the pop off and attack.
Yeah, we're all silent when she says that.
To what do we owe the most dubious pleasure of your presence?
She smiles.
Don't smile. Don't be cute. We're not a friendly audience.
I like that. And she she gives a nod, and you can see she takes a moment and she mentally restarts.
Hmm.
And she, there's an acknowledgement, especially she has walked into y'all's territory and y'all are archmages and have shown some right. So she nods and she says, siblings, friends of a sort, and former mentors in other lives, I would like to speak with you all about what you are doing. And her attention is clearly on the three of you. Helena is there and she has given a look and a clear size up. I think Helena may. It is definitely a can I take her kind of expression, right? She's okay, you don't know what she knows of you. She's another Arcmaster, so there's, some assumption. But there is definitely a, I'm talking to the three of them. I have my eye on you kind of thing. But also can't, be oh, I'm talking to the real coven. Like, she's clearly like, this is a group of four she knows, but right now the invitation is to the three that she knows.
Yeah, and for me, Helen's just kind of, I guess, wondering how I fit into your plan, or if I didn't. Like, because y'all have filled me in about her, and I've gathered that that's who we're talking to.
Especially when she restarts, that's like, oh, this lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out, am I arranging your plans? Or was I... You're not acting like you intended for me to be here. But yeah, just gonna kind of watch her while she's not watching me.
So, is it to be a lecture?
Well, no, not at all. Do we, and like, you realize that she feels uncomfortable standing like here to have the conversation. Yeah. And she kind of, I think there is that, like, she's uncomfortable. Helena is something odd that, you know, you aren't, it's not part of the plan that you knew of a decade ago. And then is standing in your guys' seat of power, more or less. And you can see there's a moment of, oh, let's leave. And then she kind of, like, readjusts, similar to when Theodosia, when Solace in Darkness, corrects her. And she says, is there a comfortable private place that we would speak?
This is private and comfortable.
I feel like this is the appropriate amount of comfort.
She nods. May I come in then? Because she's standing back at that cavern mouth. Mine entrance.
Cloak looks at everybody and then turns back at her and says, before you enter this sacred place, I ask you to swear an oath that anything you do here will not be an action taken to solely and directly support your own plans. And if you are inclined to request an agreement that will occur after we have reached an understanding here first.
She nods. I will take no action other than to talk, and I will not cast a spell. I think she says it a better way than that. But yeah, she's like, I have come here just to talk.
Cloak nods and says, welcome to the caverns of Niakis.
She nods and then, like, kind of, she does a very pointed look down and, like, confirms that some of you at least are wearing shoes before she walks in. walks forward and, like, greets each of you, like, you know, not necessarily with a bow, but, you know, walking over, you know, Petrichor, Legba, Baba, Sarah. Because she doesn't know, because that's a thing that Solace in Darkness has. I don't have you mentioned it to the rest of the folks, because this was something that we've done kind of off camera. You've even changed your Discord name, but I don't know that we've.
It was on camera because Cloak asked her, how should I, or Legba asked her, yeah, when we were sure. In the God Machine, how mm-hmm. should I address you?
Yeah, so this is a new thing, so she has no idea. So yeah, she refers to you as Baba Sarah.
I'm not going to correct you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, that's fine. Yeah, cast on Baba Sarah. That's going to get you nowhere. Yep. And then steps before Helena and says, I am Rilla Remington.
Is that how you wish to be referred to?
That is the name that everybody here is comfortable using.
Over the private channel, you would say there's a lot of other names we can be much more comfortable using.
Solace in Darkness holds down the mute button.
And I'm just going to sort of lightly incline my head, half bow, and you may call me Max.
Max. And she looks around and realizes that, yeah, there's not really any place to sit. So she just kind of stands. and she
there's
says,
a place to sit.
Oh,
once
yeah.
Once we reach deeper inside, Cloak sits on the ground.
Okay. So, yeah, if you guys head, yeah, inward, then, yeah, she will follow. And when you sit on the ground, she stands.
I'm also not sitting on the ground.
Yeah. I feel like Helena and Rilla, even this Rilla, are kind of cut from the same cloth.
Wall. It's real. Sort of hat tilted down, sort of.
Yeah. That's awesome. At this point, I feel like Petrichor literally just cannot help it. It just happens. She stops moving, and she becomes a cover of a cowboy novel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic.
Of
course, wouldn't expect everyone to sit, right?
Oh, but yeah.
This is part of him sanctifying the space, right? Like it's, you know, comfort in there and like making sure he's communicating that to the mountain and all that. So
yeah. Solace in Darkness literally just being a floating head.
Why doesn't she turn? She could create a throne for herself of her living shadow. I mean, like it's incredible what she could do with it. So
yeah. I just more mean of like if you were looking at her and it's still a dress, all you see.
Oh yeah, and in the caverns, yeah.
Yeah. And so she kind of.
Oh yeah, because Cloak doesn't have lights here because he can see.
Yeah, like all of you have the ability to give yourself night vision or like are a master of death or like darkness doesn't matter to y'all. I'm not even considering what spells. I do not need anybody yell like I have low light vision. I have dark vision. You guys do. Like this is just known.
I do have dark vision. I think it's a praxis.
That's right. I remember. So she kind of steps into the middle of this space, not to like kind of command, but like I imagine, you know, Cloak seats himself here. Petrichor is leaning on the wall there. It's not like I imagine Rilla is kind of standing in the middle to be surrounded and kind of put herself in a spot. And she kind of turns as she lectures, as she talks. It does sound a bit like a lecture because she is the senior, but she says, I put plans into motion centuries ago to lead to awakenings that would lead mages to Purgatory Bluff. I've discussed this before. I have lived other lives being mentored by the three of you and Gisela as other paths. And I sought allies, agents, then allies. Because across several different lifetimes, several different lifestyles. I've made good decisions and bad decisions, and one of those was finding a particular tome, now residing with Catherine, who is having a nice little catch-up with Gisela, by the way, since we were visiting, and they have much to share now. Yes, the tome was mine, and it it was innocent. the creation of the golem. But either I was played or the Iron Seals figured out something else could be done beyond my imagining. And they co-opted the rites and rituals to make something atrocious. A living Iron Seal on this side of the abyss. And I have been trying to make up for it for lifetimes. I thought to have mage allies, agents that I could direct and help me gain quintessence to unleash Imperial magics to undo the thing. Either my fate magic and other twistings were far more powerful than I intended, or the oracles are actually real and saw to bless my efforts. And now I have four potential Arcmaster allies in undoing the thing I unwittingly was the architect of. She also says architect with a capital A.
Yeah.
And reveals to you her shadow name.
Ooh.
Such a thing should be unmade, if possible.
I hope it is. I have been trying for lifetimes.
Couple lifetimes by the sound of it.
Several. Some of which you supported me, some of which you supported me. And like, well, pointedly does not look at Petrichor when she says that.
Cloak chuckles, and he says, well met, architect. I will say, he holds up a finger, he says, it's harder for some to learn than others. If you want friends, it's much easier just to be honest with them and request aid than it is to invoke Imperial magics, try and create them whole cloth.
But that's a lot more effort. Right.
He shrugs and he says,
it was less effective.
Aren't there others you could have asked to aid you in your efforts?
Oh, you mean, and kind of points back the way she came. Those out there?
I don't know. And he shrugs probably, and he says, I'm sure that there must have been other travelers at some point.
It would probably blame her.
And like, she nods. Like that, exactly. Either they fear the Pax Arcanum, they fear the Exarchs, they fear the Ministry, they fear me. I have spent lifetimes.
Magic piece?
Yes, please. Please elaborate on the Pax Arcanum.
That keeps Archmages from wielding power wildly. what Legba has set in place here, were it to go farther, would probably break the Pax Arcanum, save that it is mostly in the astral, but it is affecting the material. This, and kind of points towards the shroud, the cloak of darkness, is like, would not, because it doesn't affect any others. Spells cast within your own golden road, fine. But anything that comes out here would break the Pax Arcanum. Even ministers of the Exarchs are very careful to not break the Pax, because they risk all other Arcmasters descending upon them. Which is why this living seal does not exist within the material.
Where is it?
Somewhere else. There are doorways to it. There is a space within. It appears to be some enormous, ever-growing, infinite pocket dimension, of which they seem to have more and more space beyond even what Arcmasters can wield.
A machine?
The machine makes the space. From what I understand, it is given more and grows more, and it makes its own space, and yet can still reach here. It is
self-propagating.
It's not self-propagating.
Not entirely, no. It definitely, well, it will, if they actually complete the groundwork. A machine that makes machines, that can make itself with the right quintessence, effectively.
We've been there.
I had hoped to...
Where this thing to activate. We'd be facing... Judgment Day?
Actually, if it is activated, I fear Judgment Day would never come. It would have every face in the dirt, every head in the sand, nobody ever looking up, nobody asking questions, nobody wondering, nobody awakening. And it would not have its own desires. It is the absolute manifestation of the Exarch's will.
I think we'd kind of figured that part out.
Yeah, I had wished to speak to you all before you visited it. I truly should have expected...
You really ought to have known us better by
now. I should have, yes. Okay. It is very hard to play chess against both Fate and the Exarchs at the same time.
This Pax Arcanum is us attempting to stop this machine going to run afoul of it?
I think some other travelers, Arcmasters, may see it that way. I'm sure that the ones who support the Exarchs would absolutely say it does, and try to rally other Arcmasters, those of their own kin and those who are more neutral. It is in my mind that, well, I have made goes at the machine again and again, and I think it is worth risking destruction in order to destroy it. I have yet to harm it. Even Imperial magics are possible to undo. So my working one thing, or even a couple things, can eventually be undone. I need to undo it at multiple places, in multiple ways, all at once.
I already have a plan for that, really. But I'm kind of curious, this terrible thing came from your work.
Inadvertently.
Is that right? So what were you trying to do that they were able to turn into this terrible thing?
My attempt at your Lady Mechanica. I wanted to create a perfect vessel and servant.
Is that word perfect?
Yes. I wanted to create something that was a step above mere golem with Goetia tied to it. I wanted to create something that could grow and understand without the limits of being human. She holds her hand up. Without being the limits of being a sleeper or a mere Goetia or spirit. There are powerful spirits, there are powerful Goetia, but to create one that would be a true ally, that would take something like this.
Legba exhales and then hums a song. Like the first few notes of it might not be one he's sung around the cabal or the coven before. And he says to Tarilla, he says, "Seems that all folly is the result of hubris. True hubris or accidental. I would encourage you, for the sake of the work we do forward, to cease using the word inadvertent to describe the consequences of your actions. Even in the short time being a seeker, I've come to understand that a relationship with Sophia is even more important than it was before, when our skills were relatively paltry in comparison. Your hubris led you here, and it is hubris that might still be preventing you from doing something that would aid all of us as well. You come to us seeking allyship. Your case would be much stronger if you brought allies with you as well. And although perhaps you are justifiably concerned that the other seekers who exist, however many they may be, would reject you, would rebuke you, I've come to understand, as a person who's made mistakes, however mundane they might truly be, that the only way you find people," he looks around at the rest of the coven, "the only way you find people to trust is if you're vulnerable and honest about the mistakes you have made.
She nods and she says, "And so I am here."
How many other seekers are there?
Hundreds. Not enough to make you actually, I think the way she says it's hundreds, but many serve the seers.
He nods. And he says, "If four as allies would be such a boon to you, even one more, I imagine, would also be of great use."
She nods. She agrees. She's like, I do intend to find more, but you have to understand, you four are a unique anomaly. You four are already friendly with one another. You four will already take my calls when I come calling. But the others became Arcmasters alone, often separating from their own cabals, from their own orders, from their own conciliums. They were willing to take that step alone. You all were willing to take those steps alone, but then you came back here. This is the first time that this has happened.
Ever?
I will not say ever, but in my searchings, in my lifetimes, in all my meddlings, this is the first time it has happened. It is my hope, and the reason I come to the four of you, and like nods to Helena, like, wasn't my plan,
but you're here too.
Yep. But to have five of us, at minimum, looking at Legba, to strike at once across multiple places. And damn the Pax Arcana. And if they seek to all come and fight us and destroy us because of what we've done, it will be after what we have done cannot be undone. So I also seek not just allies, but dedicated ones, devoted ones, who are
co-conspirators.
Co-conspirators is wonderful. And ones who are willing to go to the end if necessary to stop this.
I've already been to the beginning.
she hell smiles. Yeah. She doesn't know, right? But she says,
"That's so good."
But there are those. There are things now where before I was the master. Now I have no doubt I can learn from you all, and I am willing to do so, and I am willing to work side by side with you all. And while I do not bring Arcmaster allies, I do have friends. Annoying though they may be.
You've made them since we met, or?
One more time.
You've made them since we last saw you?
Well, no, but they have become increasingly upfront and forthright since they acquired one other.
You mean the other versions of yourself?
And Gisela, yes.
How did you do that? Going to ask once you mentioned her. She's working with you now?
We have come to an understanding. You can see there is some like
embarrassment. That terrible, right? You understand that sounds terrible, right?
It is more of an acceptance of my flaws. It is hard to argue one's flaws to one's own faces. And when somebody like Gisela, who I respect and love, turns to you and says, "Hey, you done fucked up." But Rilla says that in German. We come to an agreement that something must be done, but my vision had missed the small things, the small people.
Like by nods emphatically.
So, yes. We work together.
How many Talmen did you create to try and produce us?
She kind of makes a face and then says, multitudes.
Like, dynamics-wise, you can't put a number on it?
Oh, sorry, what was your question, Craig? Because I may have misheard it.
How many timelines did you create to try and produce us?
Oh, yes. Yes, multitudes. Like,
By multitudes, do you mean like in a dynamic sense that you really don't know how many?
Like I stopped counting after the 100th or so. Many were very easy to throw away because I needed all of you. Yeah, I know.
He strokes his chin and he says, "Sorry, go ahead. You want to say something?"
I think Petrichor would just kind of smile at that sort of logic. And it's like, you had to have picked up that attitude from me at some point.
So good.
You were never so blunt.
Lankwest strokes his chin and he says, "I think it's plain to see that we do not trust you."
I do not blame
you. The last you met me, I was much less inclined to bandy about in subtle conversation. So to take a page from my past inclinations, in order to ally with you in any respect, I have a very specific and explicit request. If you deny it, I will not aid you. You must give me, either through my own magics or your own, complete understanding of your motivations, your obsessions, and any risks we might encounter in the course of aiding you in pursuing this, because, as will always be the case, my responsibility is to these four, those to whom I've wedded my life, and the people outside that I work for. I will not sacrifice that, because I will be sacrificing myself to do that. That comes first and foremost before any work I do, even to stop something as great as a god machine.
She nods. She says, "Can I take you to a chantry?"
He nods, says, "That would be acceptable. Once we have all collectively decided to leave this space."
Yeah, and that's what she looks to the rest of you. Would you join us?
Of course.
Not get ahead of ourselves yet.
I'll trust my brother to fully recognize your motivations. I want to hear your plan.
Gotcha. And then kind of looks to Solace in Darkness then and says, "So, do you desire something? Do you have a question
both feels kind of like a way to avoid taking responsibility. I mean, how many lives did you create and snuff out because they were no longer useful? The only reason we're here is because you found us useful.
That's not really what she did.
She kind of she nods and she says, I understand. There is but one time. And when things were not right, I departed that time to an earlier time. I made adjustments and watched. And then if that was not suitable, I left that time and began again. This is not as if I'm waving my hand and destroying millions and billions of lives. I'm simply walking away from what is and going back. There are not lifeless worlds floating out there because of my pursuit of fixing what I started. There is but one timeline, this one, that I am in and working to stop what I started. I am absolutely taking responsibility. And I have spent a multitude of lifetimes trying to stop it. The only other option that exists is to find every single existence of that tome, snuff it out of existence, and then erase my own existence, which unfortunately means throwing myself into the abyss.
You've already worked so hard to get past that part, so.
I have. And I have considered, but being absolutely sure that that tome does not exist in any other fashion. So the original is currently sitting in Catherine's hands.
There are copies?
As of yet. And this is what many of the other Rillas are looking for. No others have cropped up. Whether one is sitting on some Archmage's golden road because they've plucked it out of the time, or sitting in a chantry, or is sitting in somebody's Oniros, I cannot search every place, but I can at least find the original, pluck it out of time, and hide it away with a broken timeline where I know exactly where it will be with a group of very territorial protectors who, as I understand, have killed one mage to protect it and then unselfed another mage to protect it, inadvertently or not.
No, that was on purpose.
Well, the inadvertently protecting the tome, but yes. So yes.
It helped they were not very polite.
No. To be fair, though, seers rarely are. So, yes, this is me taking responsibility. If you have suggestions of other ways to defeat this thing and undo what I have started, I am all ears, but I have searched.
Expanded, though my borders of magic might be, I find myself still much the same person. And those things don't survive a storm hitting it.
No. Therein lies my plan. In short, and without great detail, because speaking here, warded and protected as it is, does still fill me with some level of fear and concern. Yes, unleashing a torrent of hellfire, disillusion, unmaking, whatever you wish, within the beast itself, and undoing its anchors into this world, within the shadow, the underworld, and the astral, will hopefully undo it. I have attempted these things individually and had a modicum of success, and then died. Then I reverted in time, destroying millions of lives in the process.
And I disagree that that's how it works, but...
She nods, but you can see there's like, she's ready to throw down with Solace. She's like, how dare you say I'm not making up for my mistakes? But that's good stuff.
I have a goal in mind that I find is reflective of your situation, and that something I have created is now being wielded by people I would not wish to wield it.
She nods.
I believe my piece in this work will be to reclaim it and use it to fuel my efforts in our campaign.
She nods. This would be the things I can learn from you all. Your masteries, your legacies, the things that you can call on, and how we can use them to unmake this thing, or, short of that, break it irreparably.
Over our telepathic link, he was going to say, I'm finding it difficult to get detachment here, so I'm going to abstain from any decision making. Not because I don't have opinions, but because I don't trust my opinions are logical, if that makes sense.
That's never been a concern of mine. And your feelings are welcome here, sister.
Your feelings matter just as much as your thoughts. They're one and the same.
My idea is, do we need her?
No,
we do not. Do this anyway.
I don't know that we need her, but if it makes the process easier,
it would help.
Yeah, Legba says, to be transparent, or I guess that wouldn't be legal back then. He'd say, to take another page from my past self, I asked her the question about who she knew, so that in the event that we deemed it unwise or inconvenient to work with her, we could work with those instead. Solace, if you don't want to work with her, we won't work with her.
But she is an archmage. She brings a multitude of other versions of herself. Some of which you know.
And Gisela. Everybody loves Gisela.
She is intimately familiar with the process that created this thing, as it was hers. I think she's more useful than any other Archmage we could recruit might be. And she wants to undo it.
I like the idea that, like, Riliz in the middle of the cavern, turning around and just watching you all like look at each other and nod or shake your head or make expressions. And she is like, there is clearly a conversation that is happening here that I am not privy to.
To her credit, I love the fact that we have dispellation or counterspelling proof telepathy.
Yeah, it's the legacy, and like there's like other than casting telepathy on one of you to jump in on one part of the conversation. Yeah. And to her credit, she has she's kind of figured out what is happening, because you know it is still a spell, right? But she's just like turning and just trying to follow the conversation, tennis audience-esque, right? Trying to figure out who is speaking at the moment. But yeah.
Yeah.
Edricor definitely clocks that and starts making movements not in line with the conversation. Just
to fuck with her. Sure. Like eventually I think she catches
the side of that. We all turn around and face the wall.
Right. Yeah, she catches that and like smiles at Petrichor and then just basically steps back from the center of the room and finds a you know, equidistant spot against the wall and just kind of gently leans back. Clearly you all are making a decision.
Legba says, Helen, I thank you for your words of wisdom and diplomacy. I think it is true that if you are trying to destroy a structure, you are aided in your efforts. Your efforts are easier or eased by the aid of the architect of that structure. And then he says, and of course, I reserve judgment until I have ascertained to my satisfaction that working with her will not endanger my responsibilities to you all and to the people we care for.
It comes down to it after all these years. If Legba is satisfied, then I doubt I will find objections.
He sends you a feeling of warmth. No pictures or images, just a sensation of warmth.
I think we do need to know her ideas, rather than focusing too hard in on her moralistic sort of implications of her ideas. We need to know if she's got a plan that can work, or if we're just going to
be reset.
He then says openly, Salus in darkness, I can offer you the means to be able to acknowledge how your feelings are influencing your decisions if you so desire.
Oh, Richard made a really good point. You've always been the wisest among us. If you see no issue, then who am I to say otherwise?
That was not my point.
Your just as justified, but I appreciate that. your trust. Thank you.
Max?
I think we should work with her. You don't always have to like the people you're going to war with, but strong allies are strong allies.
Agreed.
Legba laughs in the group chat, and then you get like a head shaking. He's sending an image of head shaking. It's definitely not in dismissal of what you're saying. You're just saying,
yep.
Living out here on the fringe, you forget about certain needs. working with other mages does often require you to accept certain sacrifices.
Speaking of war, I wonder how direct some of our efforts to stop this machine will be. And if at least one of us might wish to take a more circuitous route.
I'm just going to look at Legba.
Yeah, Legba's eyes are, his eyebrows are raised in the astral and the physical. Go on.
We have the beginnings of alliances that could add up to a revolution on the fringes, as you just said. And kicking that hornet's nest and giving a lot of activity in the mundane world of magic might at the very least serve as cover for our activities, if not a direct strike at the continued construction of this machine.
That's a very good idea.
I like this. I like this a lot.
I like that. So after the mental silence kind of sets in, Archmage Rilla, the architect, stands up right again and says, "So I have a chantry plucked from when the device was active. In our future, in my past, so you can understand and see what it does and what the seers do with it. And living in that time is how I've found its weakest points." You can see she like hesitates to call them weak points.
It's not really weak.
Nope. So I can take you there to my golden road. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
This is a piece of history where they obtained the entity we have squirreled away.
They gained the entity. They completed making the device self-sufficient. And they tamed, allied, whatever you want to say, made subservient the Nameless Orders. And their reach spread.
Chikor internally is like, I had a great idea. I should be proud of myself.
Drew was like, oh yeah, yep, sure, Chris. I've already got a plan for that, but yes, absolutely, yep. we are definitely on the same page there. So she kind of extends a hand to any who will take it. And rather than, just because we run it down to the end of our thing, those of you who join her travel to the chantry, one of her chantries on her golden road. She's been around long enough. She has the arcana for it. Mm-hmm. She has several plucked out of, you know, places. You all saw the little cottage. She takes you to London. It looks absolutely normal. It looked like it was plucked out of today for all y'all. Everything is fine, but there is an absolute deadening in every face that walks by. You know, these are just not real humans, right? They're just entities in this. But the dead-eyed stare, or and even of people smiling, people have just this absolute, it is the cogs that you saw taken to extreme. So you have workers passing by eager to go to work. You have workers passing by absolutely just suffering under their drudgery. You have people lost to greed and personal things. Even the priests who pass by are just so fanatical in their performance of duties rather than their actual thoughts of anything higher. And like, it's a, you know, several block radius of space plucked out from London. There are no spirits. There are no Goetia. There are no ghosts. All the little twinges of supernatural that you should see, just little things in the corner of the eye, the little oddities that make up the world that you all are used to and as Arcmasters now are very, very accustomed to, that they have become mundane, that it no longer matters. There are even little things like there is no such thing as luck as you walk by. There are no games of chance. Everything just happens. Like, there is no hope that maybe one might get lucky. And she goes on to explain that even the nameless orders that once stood on the periphery and outnumbered the Diamond Order and the Seers, but were disparate. They all came together with promises of power and created what became known as the Technocracy. And together with the Seers, took over. There were no more awakenings. These mages were the last mages. She didn't stick around to see more of this. She admits fully that it is entirely possible that the oracles do something, that there is some revolution, but it would have had to come from within their numbers because the Diamond Order doesn't exist. There are the Seers and the Technocracy, and there are Sleepers. And all the things that once were supernatural, all the spirits, all the Goetia, all the ghosts get consumed to feed the machine, which then influences every sleeper far more than any shard of the abyss ever did. So they spiritually will say, never look up, never question, never think. They're lost to their work or their greed or their lust and never experience any true happiness or bliss. It's always manufactured or false or a temporary fix. And after walking through London, to your heart's content, it's not going anywhere. After about a couple hours, the whole thing seems to kind of reset. This is the thing I am trying to stop. I saw it once, and I put it in my soul. So whenever I think that there's too much effort or there's too much sacrifice or that it's not worth it, I can come back and look at it and remind myself. It is maybe not the wisest thing, but it is absolutely necessary that I do this. So I ask you, are you in or are you out?
Rigma says, I appreciate the demonstration. You have not yet shown me or given me what I specifically asked for.
Oh, dude, remind me what that was.
He wanted, through her magics or his own, a dossier of her motivations.
Oh, yes.
Obsessions, right? Like a very explicit, in the way that would seem invasive to someone. I mean, it is invasive. He's being deliberately affronting, right?
Yeah.
And saying, I want to know everything about how you tick right now, so I can make sure from my own perspective that you're not hiding anything you would otherwise not try and share with me.
Right. Thank you. When you had asked the question, I had a thought in my head and I skipped it. No, you're good. After this, before she asked that question, she joins you all outside, or those of you who join her, outside of the chantry, back on her golden road. And I think she just kind of, she kneels in a very, like, I'm going to use the term submissive, just yielding position. And she's just like, ask, look, question. And like, there is no withstand to any spell that you throw at her that is looking into her mind. And yet, aspirations of, these are the things I need to work on. The number one obsession, I must destroy or break the God machine. I think actually she has two obsessions. Destroy the God machine, break the God machine. Recruit allies. Yeah. Like, there is a level of obsession and like singular focus that is impressive and scary. And you could absolutely understand why the Rillas were like, yo, you need to calm down just a little bit, because you have forgotten why you were doing this, and that there are people there who are being hurt or harmed or, you know, even upset by the things you are doing to stop a greater evil. Yes, we do need to stop this thing, but it doesn't mean that we can become monsters, that we can get out of hand. And yeah, like, and clearly something has happened in the decade plus whatever time she has spent in her golden road outside of time that has nudged her a little bit. She is very much still the manipulative, meddling archmage that you guys had writing messages and then other Rilla writing messages way back when. So there has definitely been a change in the past decade, but you can definitely see some of the, as Legba is looking in, some of these obsessions and aspirations have grown moss, right? Like they have been sitting there and being worked on, and are just not going anywhere because this is her existence.
Can I have some follow up questions then? Sure. I'll make them relatively brief. First is, what's your wisdom?
Four.
Okay. Four wisdom. What is her virtue and vice?
Oh, you know, I haven't thought about that. Let me see. Hey, old Rilla Remington. Yeah, her vice, still pessimistic. Her virtue... I think her virtue still is generous. It's just
generous. Okay, great.
Underused.
Cool. Yeah, that's fine. That's incredibly useful, that Legba, for reasons you already understand, right? Then the next question is she capable of feeling regret?
Oh yeah.
I mean genuine, actual, honest regret, not in the sense of her trying to make things the way she wants them to be, right? Dissatisfaction is not the same thing as regret.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like speaking with her, seeing this, knowing that she and, you know, I'm going to restate it, inadvertently caused this. And now she is like, I have to stop this. I have like, and she knows, like, not just on a logical, oops, I messed up and I do. It's like, I feel this. And there's some calluses to that, right?
Okay. Then Legba wants a qualitative answer to his next question, because he believes it would be a rather unwise violation to actually do this directly. He wants to know, I think this would be in the sense of a spell, right? A knowing spell. He wants to know if she has a good relationship with her daemon.
Hmm.
He doesn't need to talk to them, right? Just like, right. Are they feuding, or is her daemon supporting her in the things she's doing?
I think it's probably a little bit on the neutral side.
Okay, that satisfies him. If she's not at odds, or sorry, if she were at odds, as Legba has experienced, mm-hmm. and everyone in the coven has, you know, gone through this whole process, right? Odds with the spirit of self-actualization in your mind, in your soul, right? And that means that perhaps you have something wrong going on in there.
You got to clean stuff up. Yep. But no, and okay. Yeah, there's definitely like something there, but it's not, it is not Theodosia and her daemon. Well, actually, wasn't and isn't the old Theodosia daemon experience. It's somewhere more neutral.
Okay. Great. That's enough for Legba.
So yeah, she returns back to the caverns of Nyakis with whoever had joined her for that. Legba plus whoever else wants to say that they were there. Yep. And then asks, are you in or are you out? Is anything I say? Go ahead. Oh,
I'm in.
As am I.
Very good. And that's where we'll leave it. Thank you all for joining us. So yes, on October 31st, as the sun sets in Purgatory Bluff, the coven join up with Archmage Rilla Remington, the architect of the God Machine, to destroy the God Machine.
Oh yeah.
Yep. I was actually flipping through the calendar and I was like, okay, it's been a couple months for this, that, and okay, we're in October. Oh, October 31st on a new moon.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, perfect. That'll work just fine. Yes. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. If you want to swing by Discord and chat about this episode or previous episodes or whatever, that's www.yeetinto.space. And if you want to support us monetarily, that's www.staylucky.club. Sorry for the shorter episode, but a bunch of us are just kind of wiped out. So we're just going to leave it there. And when we return next time, Rilla's more precise war plans are laid out and a division of labor is laid out. And we may split into some cool little one or two episode vignettes as Archmages are let loose to go do their job however they see fit. So yeah, that's going to be fun because we're just going to do one-on-one episodes where
buckle up.
Yeah. Cause it's just going to be like, listen, everybody wants and needs the support of one another, but at the same time, you're Archmasters with a lot of power behind you. And I have some Imperial Mysteries, rules that allow me to roll, and let's just determine what happens in a kind of ongoing thing, and then we can get kind of narrative with it. We're going to try that, see what we think about them. You all at home will get a I was going to say live, but an actual play review of the mechanics as presented in the books. So we'll see how they turn out. They look really fun and really good for this kind of play where it is like you have all sorts of power. We're not really looking at that. We're looking at what happens because of that power. So we'll see how that works
out. This was always most interesting.
Exactly.
So. So that's how mage should be played, even when you're a new mage. So
yeah, I have all the unlimited cosmic power. What? Who cares what happens? Oops. Yeah. Consequences of my actions.
What do you mean itty bitty living space?
Yes. This shell is too small for me. I need to grow larger. And that's how you get the stalker. Anyways, thank you all. And we will see you next time.
Adios.